social media is digital word of mouth. And so what you need to think about is it's a conversation. So if you're going to be constantly promoting yourself and saying, I do this, I do that, I'm great at this, I'm amazing at that, it's not going to be long until people are going to switch off and not listen. Just the same as if you're having a conversation with somebody at a restaurant or at a bar, you know, you get bored pretty quickly. So what they really need to do is ensure that they're talking about what matters about them and bringing in relevant information. So, you know, if we take in the recent issue with the berries and what's happened there, that would be a perfect opportunity for, let's say, other competitor companies to come in and say or give some background as to their due diligence, their checking procedures, the quality of their products.
Well, let's take that as an example, because in the wake of this frozen berries Hepe scandal, what could berry farmers actually do to essentially harness that power of social media and connect with disillusioned consumers who might not be trusting the product?
It's part of an education factor. It also means that you can monetize on negative publicity by showing your point of difference and why your product is safer. And really, that's the key message, I suppose, in this circumstance. It's why your product is safer.
On social media, you see this war playing out these days between animal activists and farmers. In what ways can farmers use social media to their advantage or just to show the other side of the story?
Educating the consumer to say that we follow these legal requirements, even turning it around to maybe creating personas such as a chicken has a name rather than a number, do a profile on it, how old it is. You know, you could even go as far as to say its likes and dislikes. You know, maybe it likes walks along the beach or a scratch under the chin or something along those kind of lines, something which makes people connect with it as a living being rather than a product.
At the same time, there is the tendency for people to overreact on social media as well, and for these arguments to flare up. How would a farmer post a tweet about, you know, a positive animal story and not get negative feedback from trolls who are out there, or vice versa?
There's no way of avoiding them. The best thing to do is embrace them, read between the lines and understand what the main issue is that they're trying to address and actually respond to that. But don't get caught up in this battle, because that's when things get out of hand and people get flustered and the wrong things are said. I would embrace any feedback, positive and negative, to show that you're listening. Because if you're listening, people understand that you actually do have this this deep desire to ensure that consumers are educated and selecting the right product.
Luca, I also wanted to ask about how farmers can use social media to connect directly with politicians or lobby groups or farm lobby groups. You see politicians more and more these days on Facebook interacting. Is there a way farmers can get their concerns and messages to those politicians directly through social media?
You know, for the farmers in this particular situation, it's fantastic because you can reach out to that right person and people are watching, people are listening. So as long as you construct your, you mentioned tweets, so on Twitter, you actually construct your tweet effectively with the facts and the points, then you will respond or will receive a response, I should say. Same as if you're doing it on Facebook or Google Plus or any of the other major social networks. You need to treat it in a way that you are communicating with a person and be respectful in that manner. But definitely use that that medium to communicate, because it is so powerful. And like I said, everyone is watching.